Matt Cassel, quarterback of the New England Patriots. Good morning, Matt. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Is there anything you'd rather do than get up in the middle of the night in California to talk to Dennison Callahan back in Boston?
I'm telling you. I mean, if I'm not as sharp this morning, it's probably because of the reason it's still pitch dark out here.
No problem.
How's your dorm room? You all settled in for the weeks to come?
Oh, it's nice. We've got nice little bunk beds that we all get to share together. It's great.
Who you rooming with?
No, I'm not rooming with anybody. I'm just kidding.
Okay.
We're good. We're good to go. Get my own room.
No roommates? You got a single? Wow.
See,
yeah,
a quarterback.
I got a single.
Yeah.
There you go. You think you'll have fun this week? You think you'll bond? I mean, it's a kind of an uncharted waters when you think about it, being away with your team for whatever it is, 10 days.
Yeah, I mean, well, the thing is, to me, we've got a very veteran team, and we've got great leaders on this team. So I'm pretty sure when it comes down to getting the job done on the field and getting it done in preparation, we'll be fine. It'll just be different from not being at our own facilities and doing that. It'll be a little bit of an adjustment, but I'm sure we'll be fine when it comes to preparation.
On the subject of preparation, Matt, you know, a lot of people, when the schedule came out, they looked at the bye week and said, oh, man, that's awfully early. You know, 2, 3, 4 weeks later would be better when there are a little more nicks and bumps and bruises that need to get healed up. But looking back and coming off the Miami game, and even beyond that, was this bye week helpful to you personally to sort of kind of reset and refocus what you needed to do as the quarterback of this team?
There's no doubt. The first 3 weeks were just kind of a whirlwind of excitement and emotion, and it happened so quickly that I really didn't get a chance to take a step back and take a deep breath. And I think that bye week allowed me to do so, go back and reevaluate some of the early film, and then also move forward and get ready and kind of implement a new plan as we go forward from what we want to do offensively and how we want to attack certain defenses. So it was definitely good for me.
This question would probably be like asking you, if you have a bunch of kids, which is your favorite kid? But I asked Boomer Esiason this earlier this morning at 8 o'clock, and I said, Boomer, if you were the quarterback of the New England Patriots, setting Randy Moss aside as one of your available weapons, which guy would you find more valuable? Which would be your binky, offensive binky, Wes Welker or Kevin Faulk? Obviously, both of those guys are fundamental in the success of this offense. Both of those guys are very flexible in what they're able to do and help you out. Which one would be your binky, Matt Cassel?
They're both my binkies. They're both in my back pocket. I can't really say one or the other. They're, like you said, they're both so instrumental in how this offense runs and how we're so productive because of the versatility that they have and what they're able to do. So I don't want to pick one or the other. They're just, both of them are so amazing at what they do.
Was the bomb to Randy Moss, the touchdown throw, was that a perfect or a close to perfect throw? Was that like hitting a baseball on the screws or maybe striping a drive down the middle of the fairway 300 yards? Did it feel that good?
It did, and then when I saw him catch it, it felt that much better. So, and then when he ran into the end zone, it was exciting. So it was one of those plays that we had been working on during the week, and we knew that we wanted to call that on the first third and long situation. And We had been talking about throwing the ball up on their safeties and letting Randy get up on their toes, and he did a great job of doing that, and I just let it out there, and it worked out well.
And the one that was picked off, was that like, I don't know, topping one off the tee or maybe popping up to the catcher?
Well, you know, we tried to take a shot, and I stepped up in the pocket and was kind of delayed on the delivery a little bit, and so I was just trying to put it out there and give him the opportunity, and it was thrown a little late, and that's just kind of what happens sometimes. But we were talking about trying to just give him an opportunity to go up and make a play against those guys as well, and, you know, most of the time he'll make a play, and unfortunately I underthrew him a little bit, and the other guy made a play, but that's what happens.
Matt, was the Clement interception the same play call as the 66-yard touchdown, or was it a different call?
No, it was a different call.
Really different? It kind of looked the same.
kind of similar, but definitely different.
What happened on the other pick? Were you affected, hit, or rushed? You didn't release the ball cleanly.
Right, I got hit as I was throwing the ball. So as soon as I stepped up and I was about to deliver the throw, I got hit in the back, and so therefore the ball came out a little funny.
Hey,
it didn't go where I wanted it to.
I don't know if you're allowed to talk about this or tell us how many times you practice a particular play, but I'd be interested, how many times did you run the direct snap to Kevin Faulk in practice and in preparation for this game? You know, the one where you kind of do the OGA, they snap it over my head. And then the second part of that question is, did you run the shovel pass to Welker that didn't work the same number of times you ran the direct snap in practice?
Well, we worked on both throughout the course of the last 2 weeks and just tried to get a feel for it, and we felt comfortable with it and had some success, obviously, with the direct snap in the past. So we used that, and we're comfortable, and also with the shovel pass, we had rep that numerous times and felt good about that as well. It didn't work out as well as the direct snap did, but, you know, we just got to keep working on those things, and it'll help us out in the long run.
I always thought if I were a quarterback, I'd call the shovel pass every down because it's like the safest pass. It's easy. You don't get hit. If a guy drops it, it's an incomplete pass. It's not a fumble.
I know, right?
Yeah.
And it goes on the stat sheet as a completion.
Right. That's true. And he might bust it. You know, he could bust it for 50 yards and you'd have a 50-yard completion.
That would have been great. I would have really enjoyed that.
Hey, what we talk a lot about Kevin Falk and how valuable it is. It's almost to the point where, you know, he used to be underrated, but he's not underrated anymore because everyone has learned to appreciate him. Is he just all? What's the best part of Kevin Falk's game in your mind? He seems like he's always in the right place at the right time.
You know, he's just got a great feel, and he knows what he wants to do, especially when he goes out in the patterns, and he knows how to set different guys up, and he knows where he wants to go, and so. But once you get on the same page with him, he's so savvy that you know that if you got him against the linebacker, I'm going to take Kevin Falk 100 out of 100 times just because he has the experience and he knows what he wants to do. He knows how he wants to set somebody up. And so that's really what makes Kevin so good. And also the other thing that makes Kevin so good is and it's off the field because he's such a great leader in the locker room and he's so good with the offense and one of those guys that everybody looks to in the huddle when things get tough because Kevin's been there and done it all.
Hey, Matt, I guess this falls under the category of nuances of being a quarterback, but let's just take the 66-yard touchdown pass to Randy Moss and how far you had to throw that and the mechanics, physical, and the sight adjustment, mental, that you had to make when he breaks free. If Moss is out of that game, and let's just say another wide receiver, let's say Jabbar Gaffney is taking Randy's spot in there, do you as a quarterback have to adjust and say, oh, this isn't Randy Moss, this is Jabbar Gaffney, he's not as long, he's not as fast, he's not as whatever, or is it just like a sight thing and you just sort of let it go?
You know, it's something that you rep during practice, and the coaches figure out who the best, or not really who the best is, but If Jabbar Gaffney's in there and he's running the same route, then maybe it's more of a sight thing. You see the leverage that he has on the safety.
Mm-hmm.
You see if he's going to possibly run by him, and then you try to give him an opportunity on that particular play, whether it was Jabbar or Randy. We knew that if he got certain leverage on that safety, that I was going to give him a shot. So it all just depends really on what we practice during the week, and then who's running the route determines when you let it go and how far you let it go, really.
Hey, the Dan Fouts on the broadcast made a good point. He said backup quarterbacks develop good chemistry with backup wideouts. When you hit Gaffney at one point, he said they probably played together a lot on the scout team and taking reps with the backups and just feel comfortable with each other. Is that accurate? Do you know guys like Gaffney better than you might know a guy like Randy Moss?
Well, I think Jab and I have definitely been in there a lot together in preseason and everything like that and over the last few years. So I do have great chemistry with Jab, but I'd say over the first few weeks, you always continue to grow with these guys like Randy and Wes, and especially because the game speed with Randy is so much different from what we do in practice.
Right.
And so you kind of start to build chemistry with these guys and get on the same page, and you don't get as many reps with those guys, especially during camp and throughout the year and throughout the previous year. So it's definitely been a building block, and we're going to continue to work and continue to grow.
Matt, when you break down film with the assistant coaches, do you and the coaches discuss when to let the ball go, when to pull the trigger, and not to take a sack? Is that a large part of the discussion?
It is and it isn't. I mean, we talk about, you know, possibly throwing the ball away in certain situations and trying not to take a sack. You know, you never want to take a sack if you can avoid it, but at the same time, you also don't want to make a stupid play and try to force the ball in the coverage or try to run around and do something and then lose the ball, you know. So sack sometimes is the better part of the play. And then the second part of the question is, I didn't recall the second part of the question. What was the other part?
No, it was just that whether much time was spent about, you know, looking at the film and saying, here was an opportunity where you didn't need to take the sack, you could have thrown it away and saved the yardage.
Yeah, that happens from time to time. And, you know, in the heat of the battle, you don't really realize that at times. You're just kind of trying sometimes to make a play, and it doesn't work out. And other times, I feel it's necessary to take the sack in order to, because somebody's not open downfield, and I want to protect the ball. So,
when you guys utterly control the time of possession like you did yesterday, the Patriot offense was on the field for about 40 minutes. The 49ers offense was on the field for about 20 minutes. And the announcers, the cliche is, oh, the Niners defense needs to get off the field. They are exhausted. Doesn't the offense ever get tired?
I hope not. I tell those guys, you better not be tired. You better drink a lot of Gatorade. So, you know, that's what we want to do every week. We want to win the time of possession battle, and we want to be able to go out there and run the ball well. And I'm sure that it takes its toll on both our team and their team as well. But, you know, we just got to keep going, and that's where our conditioning comes in. And we work really hard in the off season with our running program and what Mike Wojcik does with us. And so we just got to we try to build on that and keep our cardio up and keep our conditioning up, and I think that helps us.
Were you surprised that the Dolphins beat the Chargers, and does it make, in your mind, does it make your job tougher going against a team that just went cross-country and took it on the chin? I mean, you're not going to catch them napping. They might be hungrier than they would have been had they had an easy game yesterday.
No, I mean, you know, the Dolphins are a good team, and they go out there and they play hard, and San Diego is a good team, and I don't think really in the NFL a lot of times you don't find people napping, and we're not going to go in there we didn't expect to go in there and have an easy game or have them napping or expecting us to come in and, you know, just roll through and they were going to beat the dog poop out of us. I mean, I know that they're going to come in and they're going to be ready to go, and we got to be ready to go.
I'm guessing a movie or something. What do you think they're all doing, Dino? You know, you go to an amusement park or maybe go out for pizza. What do you guys
all do? SeaWorld.
Yeah, you go to like
In-N-Out Burger.
In-N-Out Burger.
This is a place to go out here.
You having bed check?
We didn't last night. I'm sure we'll have it for the rest of the week.
Will you just stay in your room and like study film, study playbook?
There'll be a lot of that. There'll definitely be a lot of film study. There's no doubt.
Hey, Matt, how much conversation is there in the offensive huddle that doesn't come out of your mouth? Do guys lobby? Do guys give you information? Do guys say, I can beat this
guy?
I was open.
Everyone says that.
Every wide receiver says he's open. How much conversation, other than your conversation, is there in the huddle?
Really, everybody's pretty good about shutting up when I get in the huddle, and then when we want to make adjustments, we come off to the sideline and there's a little bit of lobbying here and there. There's adjustments being made. There's people that say, I think we can beat this guy in this coverage, or if we get this certain look, I think that I could run this pattern. So there's a lot of conversations going on off the field. Mm-hmm. But when we're on the field, it's really everybody's pretty quiet, and we just go out there and get the play call and roll.
All right. Now, you're going to get up and study your playbook, or are you just going to turn off the lights and go back to bed now for an hour or so?
I'll probably get up at this point, to be completely honest. I'm up and at 'em.
Matt, thanks for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys.
Matt Castle.